Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio here on NBB Media Sports Channel. For Sports Talk Over Coffee with Andre House. Not sure if Andre is going to be here this morning. I'm running just a minute or two late here this morning. Sorry about that, folks. But we are here. We are live on a Monday morning with Sports Talk. And we might as well get right to it because there's a lot of things going on in sports as far as the NFL, as far as, well, pretty much anything and everything that's going on in sports. We got news in the NBA, we got news in the NFL, we have news in Major League Baseball. So we might as well just go ahead and just kick right into it because there was a big signing that happened. And I think this is the right thing to happen as far as some players are concerned. But the Rams agree with a long-term contract with Jake Long. Now, and this is the right thing to do. Now, remember, this is the son of Howie Long, Hall of Famer Howie Long. So he's got the pedigree, I guess they always say. I never understood that. He's got the pedigree. But he does. He's got the pedigree, and he's going to make an awful lot of money, folks. 24 sacks in the last two seasons with the second overall pick back in 2008. Yeah, they better keep a hold of that guy. And that's actually a good thing because what they're trying to do in Miami, I think, is really good, folks. Miami is trying to set themselves up with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback, their franchise quarterback, and that should be their franchise without question. They went ahead and they started that season last year with this guy and remained with this guy, went through the whole year with this guy. You lost a whole year with this guy. Now you got to make sure you get all the pieces together for Ryan Tannehill if you're the Miami Dolphins. And without question, protecting your franchise quarterback is the right thing and the top priority for Miami as they're going into this season. Now, you can say all day long they need guys to throw the football to and everything else, but guess what? If your quarterback is not standing up, he can't get anybody the football, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. So you got to protect him. So they went ahead and they protected him. And say what you want about the guy. Say he made too much money. Say all that stuff. And you can do it. And that would be fair. But here's the thing. Look what Seattle's doing. Seattle is protecting a quarterback, a running quarterback, with four draft picks and a free agent on that offensive line. And that's how you build a team from ground up. You can start with the quarterback, then go to your line and protect them, and then you figure out the other stuff as you go on. But when you're an NFL football team and you have a quote unquote franchise quarterback, you got to protect them. And the Miami Dolphins went ahead and did so, and rightfully so. And when you are the Miami Dolphins with the shareholders that you have, and we're talking Gloria Estefan is an owner. There's some other celebrities. It's not Beyonce. It might be on Beyonce, but there's some other celebrity owners. You have to show your celebrity owners you're interested in winning. And this is how it starts. You can say what you want, but protection up front is how you start building a team from ground up, and that's what they did. And here's another thing. Say what you want. The Miami Dolphins are in the hunt over there in the AFC East, without question. I like Miami. I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing as a franchise. Bill Parcells went and set it up. Bill Parcells had it great. Then the other guys decided they were going to jump in and make some different changes. Those didn't work. They went right back to what Bill Parcells set up, and that's how they have to build that franchise. And it was a good move after they threw their ego aside and they said, you know, Bill was right. And he was. That's all he'd done. It was build championships all over the NFL. You can't question that. That's a fact. And he did it in Miami, and then they let their egos get in the way. Now they're backing up and going, you know what? You know, Bill was right. Welcome, guests 1517. You want to get in online, 347-637-2306. That's the number to get in online here on the Sports Talk Over Coffee show. No, Andre, it's just me, Sonny Clark. So we're going to be talking NFL because there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. Like to see all the guests that are popping in. Make sure you hang around. You want to get in online, again, 347-637-2306. That's the number to get in. Andrea, she may join us. She may not. Don't matter. We're talking NFL. I could talk hours on the NFL. And my wife, I talk NFL so much, my wife knows as soon as I start talking, she gets out of her chair, goes in the bedroom, and shuts the door. Let me just look. She's about ready to. So let's set this up. If you're the Miami Dolphins, are you going to protect? I mean, you went out on the limb and you grabbed up Ryan Tannehill. Are you just going to give this guy 1 year? Hell no. You got to give that guy an opportunity to get in there and do what he does, and that's the reason why you brought him in. Now, remember, I'm not saying – let me just put this out there before anybody thinks that Sonny has started jumping into his meds this morning. I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill is Tom Brady. What I'm saying is when you grab up that guy and you realize the talent that you got him at the draft pick that you got him at, you've got to promote it and you got to protect it. And they did with Jake Long. And that it's a good signing. You can hate the guy. You can hate the fact that he's the son of Howie Long. You can hate all of that. 24 and a half sacks in two seasons last year and the year before. That right there tells you that guy has got to be on your football team and he's got to be compensated in the right way. And here's the thing. Even though he finished the end of the season last year on injured reserve with left tricep injury. And they said, no, we're not going to franchise tag him next season. We're going to get him under contract. And they did it, and they did a really good job. Like that move. Now, let's head on over to where there's other things going on in the NFL, and everybody talks about it, and we can sit here and talk all day long, and I'm going to put this out here, okay? And it's not because I dislike Darrelle Revis. I'm not going to say that. But if you're the Jets, do you let this guy go? And I'm saying that because if you're going to pay a player, the amount of money that you're going to pay Darrelle Revis, don't you want him in the lineup? Don't you want him in here? Now, granted, last year, I mean, geez Louise, hell, I could have coached the Jets. They're a horrible football team last season. And frankly, Mr. Ryan, head coach of this football team, ought to be embarrassed. But this is a franchise has gone completely away from Miami. If you take a look at what Miami's doing, they're not doing that in New York. They're going the other route. They're finding their defense, and they can, you know, the hell at the quarterback position. Hey, I'm telling you right now, if the Jets go into this season, starting the season off with Mark Sanchez as quarterback, you might as well just put the icing on the cake and start eating it because they're done. This team needs a quarterback. You can sit here and tell me all day long, oh, Sanchez in his first 2 years took it to the AFC Championship. Yeah. What has he done for the last 2 years? How long as a franchise do you hold on to a quarterback that, you know, supposedly has success? And I'll say supposedly because the defense is what got them there for the two years that they went to the AFC Championship. How long do you hold on to a guy like that? How long do you also hold the fans hostage by bringing on Tim Tebow, which he had no intention on playing this year? And not only that, piss poor. And I say that. Piss poor plays for him when he was in the lineup. Didn't utilize Tebow. And you sit here and say all you want, but Tebow may not have been the reason why the Denver Broncos went to the playoffs, but he sure was a good 70% of the reason why they went to the playoffs. And that ego-driven, you know, burger-eating weirdo that you have as your head coach over there in New York didn't want to go that route. He wanted to have the stamp on that quarterback. I mean, goodness gracious, they were putting signs up with color codes on what play to call. And treating him like he was back in prep high school, or Pop Warner High School, by throwing up colors. Oh, that's the play. Thanks, coach. When they got a microphone in his ear. It's just stupid. However, that's what the Jets do, and that's that ego problem. So, obviously, you catch the tone here. I'm talking about the AFC East, and the AFC East also has another team in it. It's the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills, they let their franchise quarterback go. And Ryan Fitzpatrick should be on his knees thanking the Buffalo Bills by releasing him. Because when you do have the Patriots over there in that division, you have Miami who's improving each and every year. And then you got the Jets who are supposedly one of the better teams in the AFC East. I'm not falling for that. But supposedly, where does the Buffalo Bills fit in there? Now, the Buffalo Bills have done a lot of work on the defensive side of the ball to try to bring in defense, but they're not doing things offensively. They should have, hey, say what you want, they should have kept Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he got a lot of money, but you know what? What are you going to do? Now they're going to go to a no-name quarterback. I don't even know who it is. They haven't even announced who it is, and I bet you a dime I don't know who it is right there. Just throw the stamp on them. They're done for the season. If they do not bring a quarterback into that football team, they're telling their fans that they don't care about the quarterback position and they don't care if they make the playoffs. And where's the responsibility of a franchise as far as the NFL? Granted, first and foremost, they don't care about you. Okay, they don't care about Sonny Clark, who's bashing them all the time. They don't care about the fans. The bottom line, when you're talking about close to, and I'm going to put it out there, guys, okay, this is a $15 billion industry. It's not 11. Okay, if they're showing 11, it's 15. But they are only interested in their own bottom line, and their own bottom line is just simple. Take care of the franchise and make sure they make money. And they're going to make money. Now, will the Buffalo Bills decide how much that's going to be with what they're going to do at quarterback position? Because they have none. And when they go ahead and they grab up a retread that isn't worth a nickel out there, and those that don't know what a retread is one of those old quarterbacks that are trying to spark up their career, you put the stamp on the Buffalo Bills. there are three teams that are in contention. And Buffalo, when they got – hey, and I'm not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick was the best quarterback, okay? Don't – whatever you do, don't fall for that, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that out of all the quarterbacks that are available that you could grab up, unless you're going to be proactive and go grab a Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, Philip Rivers, I mean, go out there and nab yourself a quarterback to bring in a name, then you're already done. Because there are no quarterbacks in this draft that you could throw the franchise tag on unless something incredible happens. The Buffalo Bills are done. So you've got three teams vying for a AFC East championship. You have Miami, who is working very hard, and that signing of Jake Long was a big, big move toward that. The Patriots are always that, and I put a new title on the Patriots, guys. And if you want to get in, 347-637-2306, I'll take your call. But the Patriots are one of the best regular season football teams in history. But they've had a hard time getting it done as of late in the playoffs. They're always a playoff contending football team, but once the playoffs start, as of late, hey, and you, hey, I love the Golden Boy, Tom Brady. You might, for a regular season, give me Tom Brady every day and twice on Sunday, and give me Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs. But that's just me. But the Patriots, they're probably going to win that division, probably battle it out with Miami, because the Jets are irrelevant, and so are the Bills. Okay, so that whole division over there is all set and ready to go. And I don't even care. Unless one of those two teams, the Buffalo Bills or the Jets, grab up a real quarterback, I'm not worried about them. Are you worried about them? Do you think they actually make the move? And this is your opportunity. There are a lot of sports channels out there that won't take your call. I'll take them, 347-637-2306. I'll give you your chance to give us your take on what you see over there in the AFC East. Because really, if you think about it, that division, I don't know if there's enough firepower in any of those teams to go far in the playoffs. And yes, I know I'm talking early. Yes, I know the trades and all, who's going to sign, who's going to end up where, and all that other stuff isn't done unless there's drastic moves. For these football teams, that's about where it's going to stand. The Jets and the Bills will fight for third and fourth, and the Patriots will probably win it with Miami right behind them. Or you can flip-flop them depending on how the Patriots are going to react. And we can talk about the Patriots. Should the Patriots have got rid of Wes Welker? That's gonna be the huge question, because you're taking a main portion of your offense off of that football team. But, you know, people that say that don't realize, yes, granted, I get it. Wes Welker was a big part of their receiving corps, and I'm not going to question that any day of the week. But who made him? I mean, really, if you think about it, who made him? That's Tom Brady. Tom Brady can make anybody, okay? And that's what makes Tom Brady so great. Now, Wes Welker jumps out of a plane, goes to Denver, and finds just about the same type of quarterback in Peyton Manning over there. So he's going to get the ball. But here's the thing about the Patriots during the regular season. I got to throw that on there from now on. They'll find their Wes Welker. They tried. They unsuccessfully. I think they started that journey on putting Wes Welker on the side at the beginning of the season. I think they started trying to figure out how they were going to fill Wes Welker's shoes a little too late. And I think they realized it and they said, forget it. We'll throw him in. We got him. We're paying him. He'll catch the ball. They need to go out and start looking for that replacement. As soon as Welker flew the nest, now it's time to find their next Wes Welker. Or find a deep threat, because that is one of the biggest criticisms of the Patriots, is that they have no deep threat. as much as I love Welker, and I think, and 2 years ago, I predicted him to win the MVP before the beginning of the season, and he came in third in voting. So I'm telling you, that guy does amazing things with the football after he catches it. You know, that yakety-yak thing? Yards after catch? Yak? That is what he does, and that's what he does best. Who's going to be that next one to take a step? But, you know, if they don't do it via a Wes Welker possession type of wide receiver, they need to find that deep threat. They need one of the two to be successful. But I don't doubt what a Bill Belichick's going to do for this football team. I don't doubt him. Anybody doubts him in the regular season, they're just nuts. Now, you want to doubt Bill Belichick in the playoffs, you can go ahead and do so. And rightfully so. That guy should get it. And just as I'm talking football, the wife goes in the bedroom. Maybe it's because I'm talking in general. Who knows? But we are. If you want to go ahead and give your headache props, you can do so. But Bill Belichick, let's just be honest, and I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's not a good coach. That would make me stupid. A lot of people think I am anyway. But when Bill Belichick is your head coach, he's just not getting the job done in the playoffs. How long will Bill Kraft put up with that? I don't know. But as long as – I'm telling you right now, as long as Foxborough is filled and they make the playoffs, he's going to stay as long as he wants to. And I'll be honest, and I'll put it out there. If I was Bill Kraft – or Bob Kraft? Oh, hell no. He stays as long as he wants. Yeah, I would like to see some home games in the playoffs, yeah. But guess what? This guy makes the playoffs each and every year, unless you have the year with Matt Cassel when you went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs. Take away from that, they've been in the playoffs forever. The only consistent enough team. I'm not taking that motor out of the car. All right. Hey. My car does well when it comes to getting me set for the big race. And without a good car to get you set for the big race, you're not going to make it. And the time trials and things like that, you need a good car. And that's, I'm making that comparison to the Patriots because it's just so true. You know, they may get the pole, but they may not win. I mean, if you think about it, when was the last time a pole holder won the race except for this year? It happened. But when was the last time that really happened? That's the way I look at the Patriots. And that's the way I look at the NFL. I don't pick those top teams. I'm done with that because it's just really simple. Those teams don't win the Super Bowl. Baltimore, I love them. And frankly, and here's another thing. The Frank talk, and let me just put this out there for you. For those of you that don't think that the quarterback position in Baltimore is worth $20 million a year, you're just not thinking. And here, let me put it in a different way that a lot of people that haven't put it in there. So let's take a little shift from the AFC East and go to the AFC North. I want people to realize what that whole situation is. You can sit there and say he's not worth $20 million. Go ahead. All right, if you're the franchise owner of this, go ahead, let him go. Because he was going to get $20 million from any other football team. I'm going to tell you right now, the Arizona Cardinals would have busted their arm to get him, and the Oakland Raiders would have busted their arm to get him, and they would have busted out $20 million for him. And guess what? He knows it. Not only that, he goes and wins the Super Bowl. Now, that having been said, when you take a look at that football team, who do you replace him with? I mean, sit here and say all you want. Okay? Oh, they're getting rid of defensive players all over the place. Oh, my gosh, they're going to be horrible. Well, what are they going to be on offense? As a franchise, it has to be the priority, and I've been preaching that the whole time. And I'm telling you right now, there are not too many NFL teams out there that don't put a priority on their quarterback team that I'm going to pick to win the Super Bowl or even make the playoffs. There are only so many Andrew Luck and Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilsons out there. So when you're the Baltimore Ravens, you don't want to lose Joe Flacco, not because you don't want him, okay? You may not want him, but who cares? That guy has gotten you to the playoffs. Say what you want. Oh, they had great defense. Hey, without Joe Flacco, they're not going to the playoffs any of those 5 years. Unless they make a drastic move at the quarterback position. So my question is this team probably will be on the cusp of making the playoffs. I'm not going to pick them yet because I want to say this is a team that it does matter about personnel. You have let Anquan Boldin go, which, you know, that had nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing to do with the signing to Joe Flacco. The fact of the matter is Anquan Boldin's contract wanted him to make money that he's not worth. Say what you want. Yeah, he caught some good catches in the playoffs. But you know what? There are other wide receivers. I'm sorry. There are. And if you think Anquan Boldin, okay, is worth the amount of money that was on that contract, you're nuts. That's why Ozzie Newsom let the guy go. And it's not because he's not a good wide receiver. It's the money that he was demanding. And that had to be a factor. He is not the quarterback of this football team. Joe Flacco will get the ball to the wide receiver. It's just the way it works. So Joe Flacco, this team without Joe Flacco doesn't even come close to making the playoffs. I don't care how good their defense would be. You want to go find a scrub, a backup scrub to lead this team. Obviously, they don't know how to find that talent. You already seen that when Flacco wasn't in the lineup, and they had Webb. I think it was Webb in there. Good God. Was that horrible? Yeah, you don't know how to find that talent. So you got to stick with what you got. The whole simple thing, as a franchise, yes, he's worth $20 million a year. And you have to pay that guy. You can't afford to let Joe Flacco go. Because there are only so many franchise quarterbacks. Now, get this, okay? When he walks on the field this year, he's in his sixth season. My God, he's so young. How many other young quarterbacks have led you to the Super Bowl? How often do they come around? It's not very often. And I'm not picking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, and there's only one reason why. And it's not because of Joe Flacco, and it has nothing to do with their personnel in reality. The fact of the matter is the chances of a franchise's repeating as Super Bowl champions are just about as much chances of me dropping 150 pounds and getting back to 200 pounds. It's not going to happen. Or the odds are very much against me. Now, that AFC North is a crazy division with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. I don't count Cleveland, although Cleveland's. I get what they're trying to do, but you got Wheaton, and say what you want. The Cleveland Browns have heart. That's where it starts, guys. They may not be a good football team, but that team had some heart last year. Now, if they put some pieces together, they might be even more competitive. And believe me, if you're in the AFC North, you don't want to see the Cleveland Browns be more competitive. And they have an opportunity to do so. And right now everybody's talking about Dylan Wheaton and Wheaton, the rookie quarterback. What did you expect? My God, he's a rookie. Okay, if you expected Andrew Luck, if you expect Russell Wilson, okay, if you expected RG3, which are, you know, we'll argue about that one another time. If you expected that from Wheaton, where they grabbed him up in the draft, are you kidding? And he's going to turn out to be a halfway decent quarterback. I believe that. The Browns have earned – they're not going to make the playoffs next year. I'll just throw that out there. And, Obi, I know I love you, and I know you listen to the podcast. I love you. But, man, they're just not going to do it next year. But Wheaton's going to have an opportunity to develop as a quarterback. That team's got heart. That team was in almost every football game last year. Now they need to get some players to plug up some of their weaknesses. Now, if they do that, they might be a team that finishes 8-8, 7-9, missing the playoffs by a game. Because when you got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and also the Bengals, all three of those teams, one time, not last year, but the year before, made the playoffs. These are good football teams. They're good football squads. The only negative that I can say about the Cincinnati Bengals is their head coach. Not a big fan. He should have been fired 5 years ago. But he manages to save his butt each and every time when he's on the hot seat. And Marvin Lewis, say what you want about the guy. But, you know, he may not be a good coach, but he knows how to save his job. Andy, he should be on his knees, bowing down to Andy Dalton, kissing his and cleaning off his toenails and clipping them for him. Saved them another job, grabbed them a couple, you know, $750,000 in the pocketbook. Because Marvin Lewis owes his job to Andy Dalton. And here's the thing, Andy Dalton's just going to be a better quarterback next year. Andy Dalton, a healthy Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to tell you right now, the Steelers, by letting James Harrison go, they didn't lose anything except a headache. And frankly, they couldn't wait to pull the plug up on James Harrison. And you're talking about a franchise that does not. This team, they don't like the black eyes. They have enough problems. They know what they got to deal with. They know they got a black eye with Ben Roethlisberger. But what are they going to do? It gets back to your quarterback. My God, and it's so obvious. You got to have a quarterback for your football team. Ben Roethlisberger has won him 2 Super Bowls and got him to the playoffs the other 2 years of the 5 that he's been playing. If you're the Steelers, you're loving this guy. And you're loving a healthy Ben Roethlisberger, because you want to talk about a guy that has stones. You talk about Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm going to tell you right now, I may be crazy, but as a rookie, knowing what I know, and I know what Andrew Luck is going to do, I know what Russell Wilson is going to do, I know what Ryan and Tiny, I'm telling you right now, as a rookie, there are 2 quarterbacks that I would take over these new rookies at the rookie, if they were all rookies at 1 year, and one of them's Ben Roethlisberger, because you can't teach heart, okay? You either got it or you don't. And I'm not saying you can't be a good quarterback without heart, because all you got to do is look at Tom Brady and realize you got a good quarterback, but where's the heart? You guys got spunk, but where's the heart? And the other one would, I mean, knowing what I know, the other one is Joe Flacco. Now, I'm not on a bandwagon. I've always been on Joe Flacco's bandwagon. I always thought that guy was so close to making it big. And all you got to do is go back and listen to the podcasts here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Go over there and listen. You'll see. I'm not just popping off about Joe Flacco because he won the Super Bowl. I've always thought Joe Flacco was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Where I thought was a mistake was him saying, you know, I'm an elite quarterback, and I'm going to prove it to you. Normally, when someone says something like that, they take a major dump out on the 50-yard line for everybody to see. But Joe Flacco didn't. And back to the point of of Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens. The simple fact of the matter is the Baltimore Ravens are nothing without Joe Flacco. You can say what you want, what they've been doing on defense for many years, but for the last 5 years, this team doesn't make the playoffs without Joe Flacco. You can build a great defense. There's only so many years. Last time Baltimore won, they won with defense. That was years ago. This is a different NFL. It's like times are changing to old people. I know I have to get a smartphone, okay? But I prefer flip phones, okay? I get it. I understand it. And you got to be able to make that change sooner or later. And that's what Joe Flacco is. He is a smartphone compared to the flip phone. And your defense cannot win you the championships as much as everybody says your defense wins championships. It's true to a point. But if you don't at least have something that will lead you to the championship, it was. I mean, the days of the Baltimore Ravens grabbing up just the average quarterback and winning the Super Bowl, though, that's not happening anymore. Okay, you can go back here even to the point realizing who's at quarterback for the Super Bowl champions and realize, wow, they're elite quarterbacks. And sometimes the writing's on the wall and franchises don't want to see it, and the Arizona Cardinals are one of them. There are a couple of them that just don't realize. Yeah, got to get that franchise quarterback. So the Baltimore Ravens are nothing without them in reality. They don't even make the playoffs without Flacco next year. That, like I said, I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl, not because they don't have the talent. The chances of them winning two Super Bowls in a row are just not going to be good for them, okay? Take your odds. And Vegas will take that bet all day long and live it and love it because they know they got your money. So Baltimore, you know, I just don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl next year, and it don't matter what the personnel is. It's just the way the odds go, and there's going to be other football teams winning that big game, that prestigious game. Looking at that division as well, you got your Steelers. They're going to be. I'm sorry, they just got one of the best coaches in the NFL. Got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and with a owner that knows how to lead his team, unlike the Dallas Cowboys, who thinks that the owner knows how to lead the team. No, there's an owner, there's a general manager, and there really needs to be separation and letting the general manager do his job. And unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys don't get that, and that's the reason why they won't be successful. The Rooneys know how to run an organization. They've done it. They've won the most Super Bowls. You can't question this. You can't question what they're going to do. They're going to find the right personnel. They're going to get rid of the black eyes, i.e. James Harrison. Tarvino, welcome. And yes, in there, you're more than welcome to hop on. We're on for another 20 minutes. But the best thing that could ever happen to the Steelers was letting James Harrison go. So the AFC North, I mean, Baltimore, you know, they may make the playoffs. I don't see them winning the division. And I know, Tarvino, you just missed my spiel about Flacco. I'm still on the bandwagon. And the fact of the matter is they don't make the playoffs without him. Simple fact of that is we disagree on that. However, when you got Cincinnati in that division and you have the Steelers in that division, Those are teams that you have a hard time beating. Oh, you heard it. Okay, very good. And when you have the Cleveland Browns in that division, my gosh, it's going to be a competitive division. And folks, I'm not saying that the Cleveland Browns are going to win or may even make the playoffs, but you're just not going to walk into Cleveland and beat them. And when Cleveland comes to your town, don't expect that you think you're just going to beat them. And I'm telling you right now, one of the most underrated quarterbacks as far as all those rookies were Wheaton. This team, for some reason, wants to get rid of them. I don't know why. But if they do, I'm going to change my tune about what's happening over in Cleveland. So the AFC North, okay, is one of the hardest divisions to make the playoffs in. and you got to know how to win, and that gets down to it. How teams that know how to win, and I think Cincinnati's learning how to do that. And you know, we can. How do I put it? When you are the Cleveland, when you're Cincinnati, I'm sorry. I think of Cincinnati right now, and folks, I've been talking about getting rid of Marvin Lewis for many years before Andy Dalton walked in. Like I said, he should be kissing his toes. But here's the thing. When Chicago needed to get over the hump, they found the Zen Master. When the Lakers had to get over the hump, they had to find the Zen Master. So that tells you something really simple. You need a coach in Cincinnati that will make that team better. And it's not Marvin Lewis. And here's the thing. You know, Marvin Lewis all day long. Okay, if they don't have a good season, he'll be gone in Cincinnati. He'll have a job as a head coach someplace else. He will. And I'm not saying that he'll deserve it. Matter of fact, this guy rides all the goodness of what he has done, and that's the part he promotes, and that's what he's going to do, and he will find a head coaching job in the NFL after they blow it. And as much as I love Andy Dalton, as much as I and here's the thing, I want the Bengals to win. And I'll tell you the reason why, because I want them to return back to a good football team. Notice how I didn't say return to greatness. But I just want them to return to be a good football team. And they're just not going to get over that hump with Marvin Lewis at the helm. Cincinnati got a lot of work to do, a lot of heart. You're just not going to beat them. But over there in the AFC North, I mean, really, there's only two teams up there that you can look at. You got to look at Baltimore. You got to look at Pittsburgh. And if, by some miracle, you also got the Bengals. 2 years ago, all three of those teams made the playoffs. So, I don't know. AFC South is another division that's in there. As my Jacksonville Jaguars, let everybody know there's a fan out there in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I like the signing of Justin Forsett to back up Maurice Jones-Drew. I like that move, as long as he doesn't start. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew, if he gets hurt, you got to pray he's only hurt for a week or two, because Justin Forsett's only going to be good for two or three weeks. And that's why they got him. Let's not kid ourselves over there. But the AFC South, I mean, you have Indianapolis, you have Houston, and that's a team, my gosh. Houston, they're loaded, aren't they? They've got it figured out, I think. And then the Tennessee Titans. That in-between team that you go, God, why are they just not good? I don't have that answer. It is not good. Personnel, and at some point you got to blame it on personnel. I mean, you can blame it on coaching all day long, but when you shuffle the coaching around and keep the same players, and then the work is still not getting done, at some point you got to put it up on the players. So I think there's a lot of problems as far as personnel is concerned up there in Tennessee. Jacksonville, they have a snowball chance in hell of making the playoffs. It's just the way it is. I mean, unless Blaine Gabbert all of a sudden just gets, you know, hit like Shazam in the old cartoons and his arm turns golden. But really, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got to do what the Rams are doing, which is protecting their quarterback. When you Rams, you go out get Jake Long, what you're saying is we're protecting our quarterback. Sam Bradford's not a great quarterback, but at least we're going to – Ryan Tannehill may not be the best quarterback in the world, but we're going to grab up and make sure we protect him. That's what that really needs to look at as far as if Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback of the future. Guy has – and let me tell you something. I watched this guy in Mizzou all day long. This guy was – phenomenal. And when they grabbed him up, and I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars grabbing up in the draft, I shook my head. I said, yeah, that's good. Almost like my Ryan Leaf prediction being better than Peyton Manning. Boy, oh boy, do I never live that one down. Anyway, So the Jacksonville Jaguars in the South, they don't have a chance. Tennessee Titans, you know, I they're one of those I don't know teams. But there's really only two teams when you're looking at it, and what do they have in common? Franchise quarterback. Simple, franchise quarterback. And you can argue those all day long. Over in the AFC West. Really, if you look at the division, there's only one team that, if you want to call them the class of the division, I don't want to do that. Call them the class of the division just makes me angry. But however, you can't deny what Peyton Manning has done for that football team. But you know that gets back to the old question: you know, what kind of Peyton Manning are we going to see this year? Are you back up on the Peyton Manning bandwagon, folks? That's one of the questions I have. I don't know. I mean, the guy was great last year, you know, without question MVP candidate and all that good stuff. He did what he's supposed to do. My question: will he do it again? I don't know. But out of all the teams over in the AFC West, San Diego, you know, flip the coin. They got a new coaching staff, same personnel. How will that work out? Hell, who knows? Kansas City, new coaching. You know, I think any team grabbing up Andy Reid after the last 3 years in Philadelphia, I think that's the biggest joke in the world. Everybody, oh, Andy Reid, he's so great. Yeah, what has he done for the last 3 years? Nothing. So I'm not a great big – hey, I'm just putting it out there, folks. You may be an Andy Reid fan, but for what reason for the last year? I don't know. For the last 3 years, I don't know. The move for Alex Smith is an interesting move for that football team, though. You get your traditional pocket passer. You don't get that deep threat quarterback, okay? That's why. Hey, I'm going to tell you the reason why. That's the reason why he lost his job in San Francisco. Straight out, okay, is the guy doesn't throw the ball deep. Colin Kaepernick can throw the ball in the air 80 yards, 90 yards in the air, okay? You don't get that from Smith. Straight out. It's the reason why he lost his job after he got injured. They figured, hey, we got a deep threat. And not only that, the guy's got wheels. Now San Francisco, they might have to pull the reins back up on him running when you're San Francisco and you had Smith backing him up, okay, let him do it. But now they might have to pull it back, depending on who they're going to have backing up. That's going to be another question. But Kansas City, grabbing them up, that's an interesting move. I mean, there are only so many good quarterbacks out there. And what that guy's done for the last 2 years for San Francisco is amazing. And here's the thing. Andy Reid needs to figure out a way to duplicate what they've done for the last 2 years in San Francisco. Forget what you know. Andy, I'm telling you right now, if they go via Andy Reid thinking this team doesn't make the court, this team doesn't even get out of the gate. But if they figure out what they're doing in San Francisco to make them successful the last 2 years, they have a chance. But here's the thing. Andy Reid doesn't take, you know, play his fiddle by other people's sheet music, okay? He makes his own. And that's going to, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be the deficit of that football team. Now, who knows? Maybe they'll hire their offensive coordinator, who was the defensive coordinator, and figured out that it would be good for him. Or their offensive coordinator switched them over to defense, or whatever the hell they did. As soon as he makes a move like that, man, you know. But this team needs to figure out a way to pump that up. They got a good running game. And here's another thing. How does a team that goes 2-14 have five people in the play? Actually, I think it was even more. Tarvino will let me know. But, I mean, I know they had at least five, and I think the number was seven. They had seven players make the Pro Bowl. Huh? They don't make very much sense, at least in my mind. San Diego, new coaching staff. I love Ken Wisenhunt, though, on the offensive coordinator. They talk about a guy that got screwed. Ken Wisenhunt had no chance. None. after they got rid of Kurt Warner.
None.
That guy, they did not set him up for success. They set him up to blow it. That's the Arizona Cardinals for you. Let me bring on my man Tarvino. Good morning. How you doing,
good morning,
my friend?
I'm good. Enjoying the day off of work.
He grabbed the day off. All right. So hop in here. What are you calling about this morning?
I just wanted to give you credit on Flacco, man. You've said it for so long that I can't really, you know, argue too much with you about the NFL as much as you know. But you stuck with this guy even before he was very good. So I have to give you credit for that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And I understand why you don't like Flacco. I get your point. But let me ask you a question. Let's say get yourself a hat that says GM and put it on your head right now. Okay, in real-time NFL, if you're Ozzie Newsome and you're the GM, you almost have to pay this guy in reality if you expect to be somewhat competitive. And granted, they're losing people right and left, right? But, man, without a quarterback, you got the kiss of death going on over there in Baltimore. What do you do about it? I mean, if you're the GM, what do you do about it?
I mean, you are right. I mean, he's taken you to the Super Bowl. He's won the Super Bowl. Who else are you? The question is, who are you going to get
exactly
to replace Flacco? And I don't think there's really anybody out there that would come to Baltimore right now with, I don't know, I just think they have to, you're right, they had to do it. They put him in a bad situation maybe, but at least they have a quarterback for now and the future. So now they can start building their team around Flacco. So
I don't know what they're going to do defensively. They've lost some names. There's no question about it. But then again, they were going to lose them. If they don't lose them, oh, there goes my coffee. If they don't lose them this year, they lose them next year. I mean, Reed is only going to be around for so long before that whole thing goes to, you know, before he starts falling apart, because he's already started falling apart. There's just a lot of things that are going, and they have to really look for the future for that football team in reality, and it's got to start at the quarterback. And I understand your consistency, and I get it. And I, just to let you know, I don't poo-poo that point at all, because it's a good point. It's a valid point. Sometimes he puts up some ugly games. And, you know, I get how someone would want to have a more consistent quarterback, and I get it. But the times when he has been inconsistent compared to the times that he's been really good, I think the difference is only so many, you know, to where you got to do it. Yet they had to build it up there. So let me ask you a question as we're talking AFC North, because I wanted to see, is there a guy that lives and dies by next year more so than one coach being Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati? I mean, has that guy lived off of, you know, getting lucky more than I can think of in the NFL? Is there any other coach that has gotten the luck of the Irish more so than Marvin Lewis?
I think the Andy Dalton, you know, he lives to fight another day. And I mean, he's done an okay job. I mean, they're bringing in some great players, I think, to build. But, yeah, I mean, most other coaches, Sonny, would be gone by now. So he has been around a little longer than most coaches would be tolerated. It's not really consistently getting deep into the playoffs. So maybe this is the year.
I don't know. For the life of me, and for the time that I've been, you know, we've been doing the show, and even before we started doing the show back in 2009, I always thought that guy, he was always on a hot seat and should have been gone a long time ago. Yeah, he should be. He should be down on his knees thinking they grabbed up Andy Dalton. And I'll tell you right now, there's one team in the NFL that are really, you know, just mad as hell that they didn't move up to grab this guy in the second round. I'm talking about one Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been a perfect fit,
yeah,
you know, for that team. I mean, he's from there. He's got all the tools. But, hey, I wanted to say one more thing about Flacco that I never thought about.
Sure.
Is, you know, now that, you know, Ray Lewis was the leader of that team, no doubt about it. But now, I mean, Flacco has to take on that leader role. He has to be, and maybe he'll be more consistent now that every day he walks out on that field, he realizes the team looks at him as the leader. That's what he has to do. And I think he could be a lot more consistent now that he's the leader and Ray Lewis is gone. I think the best thing for Baltimore and Joe Flacco is Ray Lewis is gone.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The thing that maybe if people are looking at him, you know, if anybody wants to question Joe Flacco about his talents and stuff, would maybe be his leadership quality. And that point wouldn't be taken too far, and as far as being too far off, I think. Now he's got the opportunity. And here's the thing. I think what happened, what couldn't have been any better for Joe Flacco is the fact that he proved it. He proved it with Lewis on that football team. And yes, everybody gathered around because it was Lewis's last year and all this other nonsense and everything. But really, in reality, how much really did Ray Lewis have to do with that championship if you really think about it? In reality, it wasn't much. It was mostly Flacco, and it was mostly some of the other players, like guys stepping up like a Torrey Smith. I mean, Torrey Smith, he's not going to get the credit for what he did because he's such a young player. But I'm telling you right now, we might be talking a different tune if they didn't have a Torrey Smith on that football team as well.
I agree. So, I mean, other people stepped up, and I think they all played for Ray Lewis. But I think Flacco's a reserve guy, where he's not going to come out and try to make a power struggle for a leadership position on a team. I think he did it with his play and not his words. And I think the players now, with all these other guys gone, it's a new life for really Flacco and Baltimore. This could be interesting. I'm going to keep a close eye on Flacco. I hope he does well. I really do.
Oh, I hope he does well, but I don't think they win the Super Bowl just because of odds.
No.
Just because of the odds. Last time somebody repeated as Super Bowl champions were so long ago. I think it was the Patriots, actually. So, you know, that was a long time ago. So, look at it that way. Well, folks, you know, two things have happened. Number one, we ran out of time. Normally, I'd keep talking, but I've got coffee everywhere on my desk, so I got to take care of some coffee on my desk. So, that's going to do it for us here up on the Sports Talk Over Coffee show here on NDB Media. Thanks for joining me for a little bit, Alan. I appreciate it.
All right, Sonny, have a great day.
You, everybody, also, too. Have a great day. It's Monday. Join us on the Couch to Say the Sports Show when we got to show up. And for everybody who's in the paper towels that are going to clean off my desk, we're out of here. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.